Blog Talk Radio. Because we all know we are called according not to our purpose, but to his purpose, to do his holy will, not ours. His will be done. The word doesn't say my will be done. It says your will be done. And God's will is always best for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am feeling overwhelmed this morning because I'm getting ready to start a new endeavor to do some things that I need to do to get back to being the me that was called by God, that excited, feel like I can't sit still because I got to do something for God and something for my community and just wanting to and do what I need to do. So let's pray and let's get started. We got a new word this morning. We are going to be starting a new book. So we got our little What Know Your Bible book ready for Isaiah. I'm excited because I love the word of God. And I just have this thing about the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. I love the New Testament. But the Old Testament, you know, you talk about somebody being bold. The prophets were bold. They did not play. What God told them to do, they did. Isaiah was all that and some. He was all that and some. You have these folks wanting to call themselves the goat. Please, I don't want to be a goat. I want to be that lamb that doesn't play. Mess with me and you'll find out I got hind legs and I will kick you down because I'm a ram in the bush. Hallelujah. We got to understand that all things are working in God's time. But the prophets, as we spoke yesterday in the book of 1 Corinthians, where Paul said it's better to be a prophet. He says, first pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Whew! And I'm going to tell you, the prophets didn't play. The priests didn't play. Isaiah did not play. Nathan, who was the one that told David about himself, didn't play. They told it like it was, and like it was, it was. Come on now. Moses didn't play. He came down that mountain with them laws. And first time, he got so angry, he tore them, he dropped them, mashed them up, put them in the water, and made each and every one of them drink it. He didn't play. He says, I'm going to be up on this mountain for 40 days spending time with God, and come down to chaos? Oh, no. Didn't play. And neither can we. We got to seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his faith evermore. That is our psalm for this morning, and that is our word for this morning. Father God in heaven, we come to you with humble hearts this morning, seeking you, God, seeking your word, seeking you forevermore, looking forward to one day spending more time with you at your feet at the heavenly place. When we are called to our final destination, Lord God, let us make it into the gate. Let us make it into the gate that you will not look upon us and say, I don't know you. Lord God, I want you to know me. I want you to know my name. I want you to know everything about me because I am your daughter. And I seek my Father's time. I seek time with you. I seek a better, closer, stronger relationship with you. Father God, I give myself away this morning for you to use me for your glory, God. Remove me and replace me with you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, for you are my strength. Strength like no other, God. You reach to me. Hallelujah, God. I thank you again for waking me up this morning. I thank you again for starting me on my way. I thank you again for this great word that I share with others. Lord God, let your word go into the atmosphere. May it touch someone's heart who is seeking time with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thanking God for another day and thanking God for all of you. Let's get started in this word this morning. It is going to be, say it with me, a great word. It's going to be a great word. And whew, get ready, get ready, get ready. Just get ready. That's all I can say. Get ready. Because Isaiah is the prophet. He is the preacher, teacher. He is the all that. So let's read about Isaiah and what we're going to learn in this book. Because Isaiah, I just want to say one more thing. Isaiah is the one that prophesied the Savior. He's the one that told us about Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. I am excited, y'all. I can't help myself. I'm all giddy. And it says, author, Isaiah, son of Amoz. And it was written around 740 to 700 B.C., starting in the year of King Uzziah, in the year that King Uzziah died. Chapter 6, verse 1. To describe what we will learn in the book of Isaiah, it is a coming Messiah will save people from their sins. Can I say it again? Isaiah, in 10 words or less, the coming Messiah will save people from their sins. Some details, please. Like most prophets, Isaiah announced the bad news of punishment for sin. But he also described the coming Messiah who would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and whipped his stripes to be our healed, Isaiah 53:5. Called to the ministry through a stunning vision of God in heaven, chapter 6. Isaiah wrote a book that some call the fifth gospel for its predictions of the birth, life, and death of Jesus Christ. Some 700 years later, these prophecies of redemption, balance, and depressing promises of God's discipline against Judah and Jerusalem, which were overrun by Babylonian armies about a century later, Isaiah's prophecy ends with a long section, chapters 40 through 66, describing God's restoration of Israel. He promised salvation and his eternal kingdom. Hallelujah. Some quotables from Isaiah that you might want to put in your highlightable. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah 6:3. Hallelujah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. 7:14. But unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. Hallelujah. And if you have ever been to Handel's Messiah, that is in it. Hallelujah. All pretty much most of this, 7:14 and 9:6, are in Handel's Messiah. Says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:6. The unique and unusual about Isaiah. Isaiah had two children with strange prophetic names. Sure, Jezebel 7:3 means a remnant shall return. And Mahar Shalahazbaz 8:3 means haste to the spoil. Sure, Jezebel's name carried God's promise that exiled Jews would one day return home. Mahar Shalahazbaz's name assured the king of Judah that his country's enemy would be handled by Assyrian army. And so what about Isaiah? Early in his ministry, Jesus said he fulfilled the prophecies of Isaiah. The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Chapter 61:1-6 is amazing how much God cares about us. So let's get into the book of Isaiah. Get excited with me, y'all. Get excited with me, you guys. I am excited. Just get excited for Jesus today as I get excited for him and for all of you. So let's get started. We are in the book of Isaiah, chapters 1 and 2. We will be in also our title word is coming out of the 105th Psalm, verses 1-6. And our proverb this morning is the 24th. It's Proverbs chapter 24, verses 23-25. And we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 21-40. So let's get started. And of course, for those that are just joining, moving forward, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And all whenever I say a life lesson, a life example, what the Bible says about whatever the situation, our title is Life Answers to Life Questions. Those are commentary from Dr. Stanley. So, again, God rest his soul, and I thank him daily for this wonderful word that God put in his heart to put with the scriptures. And this is a one-year Bible study. We started on January 1st, and we will end the Bible on January 31st. I'm on December 31st with Revelation. This particular show is Bible study. And for this year, for the last 3 years, well, 4 years actually, maybe five, we have been reading the Bible every year to its completion, from Genesis to Revelation. And the goal is to get the Bible in your spirit and in your heart. We've come from different ones. We've done chronological. We've done Hebrew to Arab to Greek, translated into English. We've done King James this year. Next year, we're in New King James. We will be in this book, this Bible, God willing, next year as well. And then I'm not sure what my assignment will be after next year. Whatever God tells me to do, that's what I'll do. So we started this new beginning, and now we are moving forward. I don't know what God will have for us later, but at least this year, next year, I've got the vision, and he made it plain that we will be moving forward in the word of God for this year and next year. So thank you all. Let's get started. Hopefully everybody's got their Bible. We are in the book of Isaiah, and we will be here for a minute because there is a lot of Isaiah. So we will be in Isaiah probably most of this month, if not this whole month. We will be in Isaiah and part of next month. So get your Bible, get your Bible, get your ears on. Let's get started. I am excited, and it's a lot of words. So the word of God says, the vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the anger. They are provoked to anger, the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away that way. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and petrifying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Can you imagine a putrefying sore? It's nasty and gross. And he's saying that that's what the nation of Israel had become. And he says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, unless the Lord of hosts has left to us a very small remnant. We would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of offerings of rams and the fat of their cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or the lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices, since this is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meetings. Your new moon and your appointed feast, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourself. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How the faithful city has become a harlot. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murder. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Therefore the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will rid myself of my adversaries and make vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. I will restore your judges as at the first and your counts the beginning. Afterwards, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and earth, finished with righteousness. The destruction of transgressors and of sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed, for they shall be ashamed of the terrible trees which you have desired. And you shall be embarrassed because of the gardens which you have chosen. For you shall be as terrible as those leaves whose face, and as a garden that has no water. The strong shall be as tender, and the work of it as a spark. Both will burn together, and no one shall quench them. Wow. And for chapter 1, Dr. Stanley gives us verse number 18. Come now and let us reason together. Dialogue builds relationships. Genuine prayer has all of the qualities and characteristics of a deeply meaningful conversation between two people. This image of God and man sitting down together for a good talk is our best image of prayer. And as we go back over verses 18 and 19, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Seek the Lord and his truth. Seek his face forevermore. That is what God is wanting for us, from us, is to seek him, to sit down and converse with him. But we can't do all the talking. Lord, and always, Lord, I need. He already knows what you need. He just wants you to just sit down and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for everything you've done in my life. And I just want to just talk to you this morning, just to tell you how my day is going. God wants to sit down and have a conversation with us, just like we did with our fathers when we were little girls or little boys. He wants us to just sit down and talk to him about our boo-boos like we did with our moms when we were little bitty kids, and they would kiss it and make it better. That's what God wants from us, is to just have a conversation, to sit down. And guess what? When you need that big old bear hug that you used to get from your dad when you were little, that's what God wants to do now. He wants to give us that big bear hug to let us know that we are never alone, that we are with him and he is with us. All we have to do is be quiet when you work here. As you go into chapter 2 of Isaiah, it says, the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem come to pass in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which they have made. People bow down, and each man humbles himself. Therefore, do not forgive them. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty. Upon everything lifted up, it shall be brought low. Upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the beautiful slopes, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he shall utterly abolish. They shall go into the holes of the rock and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. In that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each for himself to worship, to the moles and bats to go into the cliffs of the rock and into the crannies of the rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Sever yourselves from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils. For of what account is he? Could be a word today. This could be a word for today. It is a word for today. For the prophet is spoken. And as we go into some life lessons from Dr. Stanley from chapter 2 of the book of Isaiah, verse number 3, he will teach us his ways and we shall walk in his path. God designed a life of faith to be a community affair. He teaches us his ways so that we can walk in his path. If you're trying to go it alone in your faith, you'll never go as God wants you to. Again, let's say this one more time. If you're trying to go it alone in your faith, you'll never grow as God wants you to. God is wanting us to have accountability, thankful for accountability partners. Because, you know, so many times we're like, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But when you have no accountability partner to say, okay, did you say you were going to do this, that, and the other? And I don't see any changes. You know, they will make you feel some kind of way that you would get up and get moving. So we got to get up and get moving. And as we go into Isaiah chapter 2, verse 17, the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Ooh. Can we say it's going on right now? The Lord wants to bless us for our obedience, not to discipline us for our disobedience. He urges us to turn from our sin and follow him so that he can do good to us. However, the day is coming when human pride and arrogance will be smashed forever, and the entire world will acknowledge that God alone rules. As followers of Christ, we can anticipate that day by willingly humbling ourselves. It's time to go to church. It's time to humble ourselves before God. God is seeking us. We have folks that get more excited about a politician, about elections, about every, come on now, other than God. Folks worship people, American idols, and this idol, daily idol, this idol. God don't want us worshiping idols. He don't want us putting people on pedestals. Because understand that when somebody thinks they all that and above the law and above God, God will humble them. God will tear down and show everything. We got to understand that God is in charge of everything. And when we come to that realization that we must trust God, not me, but God. God loves us. He is our father, and he wants to be the daddy that you have. He don't want to be a dad in name only. He wants to be the dad that is involved in your life. Standing up to your father this morning. Are you sitting down and having coffee with your dad? Are you allowing him to handle your problems today? Are you trying to do it and go on your own? Because believe me, when you try to do it on your own, you're not going to accomplish what you set out to. We got to trust our father. We got to go to our dad. And we got to go and just have some father-daughter time. Have some son and father time. We got to have some time with our daddy God. And watch him work in your life. There's nothing like having a good, good father. Because our father God, that's the psalmist says, that's who he is. And as we go into our psalm this morning, we're in the 105th psalm, verses 1 through 6. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoicing seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. seek his face forever. Remember his marvelous works, which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen one. Wow. We are his chosen one. He loves us so much. And the question is, do we love our daddy? Do we love him like he loves us? Because he is God, and he wants the best for his children. He wants us to know that he is there for us, and that he will never leave us or forsake us, that he will always be there for us, that he is God the Father. He is God the Son. He is God the Holy Spirit that dwells within each and every one of us. Keep trusting him. And as the Word of God says again in our title, and the life lesson is, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Since God is infinite, we will never run out of new and surprising territories to explore regarding his character and nature. The great adventure of seeking God and his ways will continue our whole lives. Wow. Let's get excited about God. Let's get excited about Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Let's get excited. As I believe it was Andre Crouch used to sing back when I was a kid, this was like our go-to camp song, you know, our go-to team choir song. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. And then one more time. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. And don't tell me we thought we was jamming. We thought we had it going on when we would sing that song. And we got to get excited today. You know, y'all know I say it all the time. Let's get giddy for Jesus. Let's get excited. Let's tell everybody about Jesus. Let's tell everybody about our Father. Let me tell you about my dad. He is the best dad in the world. He is the one that dries my tears. He's the one that speaks to me to let me know I'm never alone. Come on now. We got to get excited and tell others about our Father God. Because as we seek him, hallelujah, we find him. And he loves us so much. Ooh, I'm getting all filled up, y'all. Because I feel the presence of God. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that it's going through the airways, that it's touching you as much as it's touching me. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 23 to 25. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to show partiality in judgment. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous? Come on now. We hear it every day. Him, the people, will curse. Nations will abhor him. But those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. That's a word for us today. We elevate folks doing wrong. We put those folks doing wrong on the pedestal. Talking about they are so tough. They are so bad. They are so this. They are so that. You know, ooh, they ain't afraid of this. They're not afraid of that. Excuse me. When someone is doing wrong, you got to call it out. When they have done wrong, you got to call it out. And when they are being punished for the wrong they have done, you got to give it to God. So many times we get caught up in foolishness. We cannot worship people We've got to worship God. Because when you start worshiping people, you are putting them in the place of God, and that is not going to work. You're going to get cursed, and they're going to get cursed. We got to stop. We can't idolize people. We got to idolize God. Because there is only one creator of everything. You know, you got folks that will go off mad, threaten the lives of people over someone that they have put on a pedestal. We got to be careful. We got to be careful. And as we go into our New Testament word this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 through chapter verses 21 through verse 40, Paul is trying to get the Corinthian church in order. And he says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, we were talking about speaking in tongues on yesterday, I will speak to this people, and yet for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophecy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, but all edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three each in turn, and let one interpret. Come on now. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who stands by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. But God is not the author of confusion. Now catch that. But a peace as in all the churches of the saints. God is not the author of confusion. Let your women keep silent. It's where a whole lot of stuff gets caught up. Where you got a whole lot of men saying women shouldn't say anything in the church. But understand, in this church at this time, these women were busybodies. These women were talking loud and disrupting the service. And that's why Paul was saying they needed to be quiet. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home. But it is shameful for women to speak in church. These women were causing confusion in the church. This didn't have anything to do with women preachers or women pastors. This had to do with women being contentious. This had to do with women up in the balcony talking loud over the pastors trying to speak, over the prophets and the apostles trying to give a word. They was loud and they was boisterous. And that was what this was all about. Women was having a moment. They was causing some confusion. And that's why Paul said, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace as a church of the saints. These women were caused, they was busybodies, causing all kind of confusion within the body of God. And he said, y'all need to be quiet. you know, going and talking, all causing chaos. And he said, or did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. And folks, take that word and run with it. Let everything be done decently and in order, even though they're out of order. We got to understand the context of the word that we speak. You know, and say, do you understand the words coming out of my mouth? We got to make sure we understand the word that's coming out of the Lord's word by going in and reading it ourselves. You know, and as Dr. Stanley breaks it all down, he said, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. 33 of chapter 14. God does not tell one person to do something that completely contradicts and invalidates what he told someone else to do. Nor does he ever lead in opposition to his eternal word. He is a God of order, but also of surprises. And it says this, and it goes to verse 40. You know, so when you hear somebody say that, remember, it's 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Chaos is never a sign of God's leading. When something spirals out of control, you can be sure that God did not design it. He may lead in unusual ways, but he will never lead in inconsistent ways. God is in charge. And, you know, we want to always holler, you know, let everything be done decent and in order, when we are not in order, when we are not doing what we're supposed to do. And I'm speaking because I know I can have my messy moments. But I know that we got to learn how to repent, ask for forgiveness, and try to do better. God wants the best for us. He wants us to know that he is an orderly God. And I love how Dr. Stanley gives us what the Bible says about a well-ordered body. A human body is a complicated structure. It's known to house from 60 to 75 trillion cells, and each cell is composed of 90 trillion atoms. Every minute, 70,000 miles of blood vessels travel through the entire distance of the body and back. And every second, a minimum of 100,000 chemical reactions occur in the brain. In an inch of skin, there are 19 million cells, 60 hairs, 90 oil glands, 19 feet of blood vessels, 625 sweat glands, and 19,000 sensory cells. DNA has over 80,000 pieces of information. And, you know, I'd have to talk to my daughter about that because she is a physician. And I'm like, is all that right? Wow. The body is something, man. Suggest the human body is a wonderful system. The workings of it are beyond our comprehension. Even doctors and scientists cannot possibly describe all the intricacies and mysteries of it, how the muscles, tendons, nerves, bones, cells, and systems all coordinate in an orderly manner to keep you going. Interestingly, Scripture refers to the church as the body of Christ. Romans 12:4-6 teaches us as we are many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. God doesn't want us to be exactly alike. Just as all the parts of the body are different, he created us with specific purposes to fulfill. However, everything works together for his glory. As 1 Corinthians 14:33 teaches, God is not author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Like the human body, the church is a living organism that is consistently growing and changing. Yet understand that it does so in an organized, obedient, godly fashion, not in chaos. When Christ brings you into fellowship with the rest of his church, he has special plans to use your gifts and talents within that group and keep you unified with the rest of the body. God wants us, excuse me, to be unified with the body. He is not the author of confusion. God wants us to be in order with each other. He wants us to love each other. Excuse me, how to get a drink there. And as we go back into this verse, it says this, and is there dissension in the church? Has something gone wrong within the body? Is there someone calling for conformity instead of unity? For conformity instead of unanimity. Ephesians 4:1-3 has the prescription raised for restoring harmony. Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In humility, respect the members of the body for their unique area of service and seek the Spirit to restore the unity within the fellowship. He is the great physician, and he knows exactly how to cure what ails you. Thanking God today for this word. Thanking God for Dr. Stanley. And before we get out, we got some word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, from Carolyn's gift. On yesterday, it was just reading. And it was all up in the word today. You know, have a motivated money. That's why God didn't give it to us yesterday, because we needed to know God made you as you are in order to use you as he planned. Come on now. What a word. Good morning. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who are troubled. He is for you. Have a trouble-free. Carolyn is back, and she is on a roll today. Again, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And he said, let everything be done decent and in order. But the one thing with all of this, we've got to first seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his faith evermore. Keep trusting God and know that he's got your back. He's got you in your coming, and he's got you in your going. And as we go to our word for this morning from our prayer book, as we wrap up this morning, one thing. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16 NIV. Good God, you are beautiful in the way you love and who believes eternal life. What a tremendous cost for you, an incredible blessing for us. Your extravagant love is without rival. No one can match the character or magnitude of it. Your love broke even the grip of death. Yours is the final word, and that word is life. Your resurrection power is alive and well today, as it was when Jesus first rose from the dead. There is no power in all the earth or beyond that can stand up to yours. You are the victorious King, Jesus, and you reign in glory soon for all to see. May I be found in the camp of my King when the day of his return comes. God, let me be your ally and friend until the end. Keep me close. And the word that God gave for this morning, when you boil down your faith in Jesus to its simplest form, what does it look like? Hallelujah. Just something to think about this morning. something to think about as you have a trouble-free Tuesday. Keep God first in everything you do. Seek the Lord, and he will never, ever forsake you. Seek his face evermore. Thank you, thank you, thank you, family. That's all I have this morning. If we have a few minutes left, if there's anyone that has a word that would like to speak, push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. Again, this is the word of God. I am so grateful that you came in this morning to share with me as I share with you the word of God. Let us all walk out today. Whatever your day has for you, walk in it and know that you're not alone, that Father God is with you. And when you need that big old hug, he is there to wrap you in his arms. Keep him first in everything you do and watch him work in your life. And as Sister Carolyn eloquently put it again this morning, have a trouble-free Tuesday. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who are troubled. He is for you. Have a trouble-free Tuesday. And as the word for today says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. And have a blessed day. No one has a word this morning. And so it is a wrap. And again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, in Jesus' presence and holiness. I pray over you and yours that you have a blessed and wonderful day. Don't forget, God is with you. Have a trouble-free Tuesday and be blessed, Ralph. Be blessed, family. Thank you so much for joining me this morning for Time with God. Join me again on tomorrow, God willing, 7 a.m. It's a better time. We will be moving forward in the word of God. Have a great day. Be blessed. But again, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a wrap because I got work to do. Love you all. Have a great day.